We've began a series, and Glenn Nyas last week, he started us on a series of the Jesus identity based on our identity being in Christ, that he is the center of our lives. And it's important for us because there's so many things in this world, in our life, that want to distract us from focusing on Jesus, from making him the center. We were talking, when Chris and I were talking about this, I think with Glenn as well, Chris, he went to, you know, one of my favorite topics, which is astronomy, and he said, that's our solar system, by the way, it's a drawing, artist conception, he said that, you know, we need to, you see, I'm already having a hard time talk and do something that's very difficult. No, it's okay. I'm going to try this. I won't be the one that gets hurt. It's okay. It won't be you either. No. Might be out there somewhere. But we talked about how in our solar system, all the planets orbit around our sun. And that's crucial for the life on Earth. It would not be a good idea, however, if Earth decided, you know, let's orbit around Jupiter. Jupiter does not make a good sun. Even though it's a fantastic planet, it does not make a good sun. Fantastic in the way it's very colorful and it's very large in that. So there you have a picture of our solar system. And what you're seeing there in that thing is the comparison of the size of planets, comparing the size of planets to each other. And then those little lines you're seeing, that's just the orbit they take around the sun, which is that little orange ball in the middle way in the distance there. It's tethered, so you don't have to worry. If I let it go, just duck, right? Don't, right? It's always best to duck, because then you're safe. So what those planets are doing is they're going around, right? Like this. And you may think, well, they don't go around that fast. Actually, do you know how fast we're traveling right now? Fast. That's a good answer. Okay. No, we're traveling, I believe it's 108,000 kilometers per hour. That's how fast Earth travels. And it takes 365 days to go around the sun at that speed. And that's not pulling into a rest stop and stopping. That's going nonstop all the time. That's what we travel at. Now, there is a force at play here. Anybody any idea what the force is that's at play? No. Wrong. Sorry, what's that? There you go. You get it. It's a centrifugal force that's at play here. And the only reason you're not having to duck right now is because the ball is tethered, right? It's tethered. Now, here's the question. The planets are not tethered at all. And they're traveling at that speed. In all reality, they should fly off into space. Okay, now remember that answer you guys all shouted out? Why don't they? Very good. I'm going to put this down before I do let it go and nail somebody. That would not be good. That would be bad. Gravity is simply the attraction of two objects where there's energy. And a bigger one attracts the other one. And so all the planets are attracted to its center. And that center pull is called centripetal force. So you got centrifugal, which is pulling outward. Centripetal is pulling in. Two different forces at play, and gravity is the key for why the planets stay where they are on the orbit they are on. There's that force going pulling out, but the force pulling in. Now, fortunately for us, Earth can't go, you know what, bored of the sun, let's try Saturn. Because it's a pretty planet. It, thank goodness it can't do that. It's impossible. And the reason it's impossible is because the sun is bigger than any of our planets. Jupiter is huge. It's 11 times the mass of Earth. The sun is 109 times the mass of Earth. And there's no way the planets can break away from it because the pull is strong. It is very strong. And so we don't have to worry that someday we're going to go flying out into space. Now, let's bring this into the whole idea of our faith walk with Jesus. And wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if we were like the planets that could, that we would just naturally be drawn to Jesus? Naturally. Wouldn't even have to think about it. Because of the orbit we're on, we're always, Jesus is always at our center. We're always pulled. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that make it easy, life easy for you if you, Jesus was always at the center? But unfortunately, that's not the case. However, should Jesus be at the core? Absolutely. Was he designed to be at the core? Yes, he was. He was designed to be there. As the sun is to the earth, so Jesus is to us. We need the Christ in the middle. We need our identity to come from him. We need it. We're designed for it. We're wired that way. Now, just some verses here to, so that you understand what I mean. Here's one, Acts 4:12. I believe this is Peter that is saying this, and he says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There is no other name. That's it. So Peter is saying there, that's the one. You go to Romans here, and Paul writes, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. What Paul is saying there is that there is no other way to get right with God. Jesus is at the center. That's who we get. That's how we get right. Further on in Romans, in the end of Romans 11, Paul writes these words, for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. Is that not a succinct verse that says Christ is at the center of everything? In fact, all glory goes to him. Everything is focused. Everything. And then what I believe is the, I believe it's one of the best passages going. One of my favorite. And that's from Colossians 1:15 through to 18. And actually, that's a hymn that has been written, but it goes beyond to verse 20. But I'm going to read for you just the first four verses. And Paul writes here to the Colossian church, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. He is supreme over those planets we saw, our solar system, our galaxy. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. Powerful words being spoken there. Powerful words. What the scriptures are saying is that Jesus is our true center. He's the true, he's the one that God has put in place for all of creation, for us. That's what he's put in place in the center there. Now, unlike the planets, however, it's easy for us to drift. Very easy for us to drift. Very easy for us to change where we're going to revolve around. You've heard, and that word revolve, you've heard the phrases, right? You'll hear someone say, oh, her life revolves around, I'm going to fill in the blank on that one, or his life revolves around, and you can fill in the blank because there's many things you could say there. That's when our lives start to get off revolving, orbiting around what is to be the center, what we're called to be. It can be anything. And the only thing is, those other things that we tend to want to be attracted to revolve around never, ever give us life. They'll never give you life. Not the life that you long and you deeply need. Never. It just never happens. Now, going back to our planetary system, the sun creates the perfect conditions for life to exist here on Earth. Seriously. You move us out to where Mars is, you ain't seen nothing yet when it comes to snow. We'll just be an ice block. You move us into Venus, we're toast. Literally. In fact, you don't even have to make that much of a movement, right? Everything, our angle, everything is perfect. But that sun, where it is, where we are, perfect for conditions, for the right conditions to exist. Jesus creates the perfect conditions for us to live life to its full when we make him our center. And that's what we're called to. That's what we're designed for, actually. Actually, think of all those needs you have in you, inside you, those things that you need to fill. Jesus is the answer for that. Literally. He creates perfect conditions for us. Perfect conditions. So the question becomes, while the earth is bound to the sun by gravity, is there a force that binds us to Jesus, or that can bind us to Jesus? That's the question. Or do we just have to work at it? That's a question. Any answers? No? What's that? Right, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to the church. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And it's a reminder. It's not so much that, we expect the Holy Spirit to be poured out today. It's not that. It's a reminder to the church that we exist, that when Jesus came, that when he told his disciples, I have to go, because when I go, I will give you the Holy Spirit. I will give you the Holy Spirit that will empower you, that will fill you. John the Baptist, when he preached in the desert, preparing the way for Jesus, he said, I baptize with water, but one who is coming who will baptize with fire, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, who will empower you, will live with you. It's the Holy Spirit that is that power. On the day of Pentecost there, and the Spirit came in like a wind, rushing wind, shook the place. And they were filled, and Chris read that scripture from Acts 2. But the Holy Spirit came in, and it filled them. And you read through Acts, you see the Spirit walking with his church. You see the Spirit guiding his church and teaching his church and giving the desire to make Jesus that center. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is always glorifying Jesus. Always. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. Always pointing to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will not distract you from Jesus. Never. The Holy Spirit will always point us to Christ. Always point us. In fact, as far as church leaders go, because sometimes we can make, I'll get to that later, but church leaders, the only really job they have, point people to Christ. That's it. Get out of the way, point people to Jesus. Get people focused on Christ. Get them focused on him. Revolve around him. And push people, well, not literally, but, you know, really encourage people, focus on Christ. John captures in his gospel, he records Jesus' comments about the Holy Spirit. And I want to read one passage to you. And this is in John chapter 16, starting in verse 12. And Jesus said this to his followers. He said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." And there, and throughout John 16 and also John 14, Jesus paints a picture of the whole point of the Holy Spirit, one who is our advocate, one who comes to point us to repentance, to turn from our way we walk and walk towards Christ, who is our center. You see that throughout the Gospel of John there. So the question here then, if the Holy Spirit has been given to us and is our centripetal force drawing us to Christ, then why don't we just naturally make him our center? If the Holy Spirit's come right now, if we have the Holy Spirit, why aren't we just naturally drawn to Jesus? You don't have to answer that. That can be rhetorical. Just think about that. But if we have the Holy Spirit, we say we do, why aren't we just naturally drawn to him? Why? I thought about that. And the answer that came to me, now, my answer, I'm not saying this is from God. We're not planets. We're not planets that are just on a trajectory that are just going around. It's beginning to look a lot like... Wow, just freaky. But that's okay. Put the blinds down. We're not planets, guys. We are God's creation, created in his image. We are created for relationship with each other and relationship with him. We are images of him. We reflect who God is in creation. And relationship, at the core of it, is what? The core of any relationship. For a healthy relationship to exist, what's at the core? Love, right? Love is. And there's trust. There's all that other stuff. But there's love there. And for love to exist, there has to be choice. Planets don't have a choice. They honestly don't have a choice. None of them are going to say, "We're done. That galaxy's way better over there. We're heading out. Pack up. Let's go." They don't. They just continually revolve around. But we are creatures we are created in the image of God. We are designed for love, wired for love, made for love. And love always has a choice. And that we choose. It's a choice to choose. It's what it is. It's a choice to choose. To choose to center, to be drawn towards Christ, to bask in the Holy Spirit. So then the question becomes, we talked about the Holy Spirit being centripetal force. So what's the centrifugal force that pulls us off? Very good. You're close. No, actually, you're right on. Let's talk about a couple things that pull us off as the centrifugal force. How many here find it easy to just always have Jesus at the center of their lives? Please don't put up your hand. No, it's hard. Part of it is trust. I don't know, Jesus, if you can really fulfill what I need. I live here on earth. There's things I need. There's a couple things I want to bring to your attention that or the centrifugal force that draws us away. We find the first one here. Well, maybe I didn't put it in. Didn't I not put it in? No, I didn't. Okay, I'll just read it to you. Too bad. Romans 5:14, significant verse within the passage as Paul is explaining everything from Romans 1 all the way to the end of his letter. But in Romans 5:14, Paul says this, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so you may read a different if you read another translation. But Paul writes, and listen to the words, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. The whole fact that we are, this world is, and I use this phrase a lot, infected and affected by sin. And it is. But the reality is, you and I, we are not inclined to revolve around what our center is supposed to be. We're inclined to sin. That's just the fact. If you say, no, not me, you just did, right? We are inclined to sin. And that pulls us off. That pulls us off over and over and over again. That pulls us off center. And then secondly, there are things out there that try to lure us, pull us. What pulls us? What pulls you away? Answer. You can share what your pulls your spouse away. You don't have to admit what yours is. Let me give you some ideas. Let me prime the pump here. Let me prime the pump. Money. Pursuit of money. Power. The need to have power. Bitterness. Sure. Yep. Status. Okay. What else? Fear. Sure. Comfort pulls us away. I think you're the lure of it. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Greed. Yeah. Pride. Impulsive. Yes. Yeah. Some desire is good. But yes, so we can talk about desire for sex, desire for, well, any of those things, some of those things we've mentioned, money, power. Some other things I wrote down, sometimes our career can pull us away. Sometimes something as little as your busyness. I'm too busy. If only God were like a drive-through. I could just zip in, zip out, gone, get on with my life. I put down material things. I put down myself. I put down, there's people that could lure me away. And they lure us away from the true center in the hopes that we make them our center. But the thing, here's a reality though. As soon as we do that, as soon as we fall for that, we are still left with unmet needs. Have you ever found that? You pursue something and you're still left with unmet needs. And again, the cycle continues, right? The cycle continues. I look for something else that's going to fulfill my need. And I pursue that and we start revolving around that and nothing. And still the calling is there from the Holy Spirit. Try, go to Jesus, right? Revolve, orbit him, make him your center. And again, we might try for a bit, but we don't. Right? We pull off and we orbit around something else. And the challenge becomes, how do I stay committed, or how do I stay drawn to the true center? How do I do that? Well, this Sunday is going to be part A. In 2 weeks, I'll give you a part B. Part A is, we need our own Pentecost. We need to be filled by the Spirit. We need to drink deeply of the Spirit. Daily, on an ongoing basis. Because I think sometimes, you know how I live my spiritual life? Like this. I come Sunday. Oh, that's good, refreshing. And then I don't take any time throughout the week to drink again. My body's thirsty. Because we go, how many times you go throughout the day and you go, you know, I just need a drink, just a drink of water, right? You go grab a drink of water or something. Because your body needs it. Guess what? I need the Spirit. I need to have Him fill me, to refresh me, to recenter me. Recentered. Do you ever take time in a day to just recenter yourself? Have you ever done that? We don't. You don't have to answer that. Because you'd be a rare duck if you do. We don't take time. We go bang, 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 bang. My spiritual director, one of the things she told me, she said, Scott, you cannot, because of who you are, when she got to know me, she said, you cannot, when you book appointments, you cannot book one appointment back to back with the next appointment. You got to have an appointment and you got to take a break. You got to take like 15 minutes or half an hour, pull away, and touch base with God. Let Him come and talk to, and just let Him come and minister to you. I said, really? She says, yes. Otherwise, she says, if you don't, you know what you're doing at the second appointment? You're thinking about the first appointment. You're not even listening. You're not even there. You need to make that a regular rhythm in your life where you just pull away, even if it's only for 5 minutes, and say, and she said, come, Holy Spirit. Come. And just listen. Just dial down. And just listen. And this calling, what she was saying was, you need to go back and have the Holy Spirit come. Draw me back to the center, Lord. Draw me back to the center. We got to drink deeply. We got to drink deeply, guys. Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, he was talking, I don't know why he mentioned this to the Ephesians, but he said, don't get drunk on wine. So I don't know if they had a problem getting drunk on wine, but he said, don't get drunk on wine, because he says that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul was always encouraging people, be filled with the Spirit. Sent, because why? The Spirit will draw you to Christ. That's who will fill you. You read Paul and the life that he experienced, some of the persecution he experienced, some of the struggles and the trials. How did he get through that? He drank deeply of the Holy Spirit all the time. Drank deeply. Really deep. And that's what we have to do. At some point every day, we need to do that. Because there's centrifugal forces that are pulling us away. And the Holy Spirit is saying, let me baptize you. Let me fill you. Let me drench you. And I'll point you to Christ. You'll be closer. I'll pull you in closer. There's always that passion. There's always that call from the Holy Spirit for us. And that's part A, to drink deeply and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need that. We have to drink deeply. Did you drink today this morning? Was it good? What about Monday? What are you going to do? Going to drink? Going to take some time to drink? Have a sip At least. You know the thing about the Holy Spirit? You know what's neat about the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit doesn't want you just a, I'm good. Right? He wants you to savor. He wants you to take it in. Because you, have you ever been really thirsty, parched? And you take cool, refreshing water in? And it feels good. You can feel it going down into your... Don't tell me I'm a strange duck here, right? You can feel it, right? Going down your chest into your abdomen, right? And it feels good. And there's nothing like on a hot day, or if you've been without fluids, just to be able to drink in. There's something about water, as plain as it is, that's one of the most refreshing drinks going. And we need it. Our body needs that. See, you know what happens sometimes? We become dehydrated, don't we? I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who's dehydrated. It's been so long since you drunk. It's having effects on you now. You're just thirsty. You're thirsty. I don't know if there's a spiritual IV you can be hooked up to. You got fluids into you. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think there's any shortcuts. Because you don't need a shortcut. It's just a matter of inviting the Spirit to come in. Inviting Him. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's stand together. Just get the blood flowing there. I want you to picture your heart as your mouth. I know that's hard to do. But I want you to go down to that deep place. So you need to probably close your eyes just so you don't get distracted by anything. Go down to that deep place of yourself. I don't know if you've been there in a while. I go there on a regular basis into that deep place. And I know sometimes it's scary when you go down there because either you don't know what you're going to find. Or sometimes it's worse than that. Sometimes you know what you're going to find and you've been trying to avoid it. And that's where you need to invite Jesus. That's where you need to invite the Holy Spirit to go into that deep place you don't want to visit. Let me tell you a story from John's Gospel. The disciples... Their rabbi had just been executed, unjustly executed. It was a kangaroo court trial. He had been found guilty. And he had been taken and executed. It was a crucifixion, one of the most horrible deaths going. And they knew that the church leaders were going to be after them. And they were going to be next. And John records in chapter 20 that they were locked inside a house behind locked doors because it says they were afraid. And it was in their deepest, darkest time of fear where Jesus appeared. in body form, like Chris was telling us at the end of worship. It wasn't an apparition, wasn't a ghost. It was in bodily form, but it was his resurrected body. And he appeared before them. And Jesus said to them, and I want you to hear the words to you, so stay in your deep, dark place there, in that place deep in your fear, whatever your fear is, that's locked up tight. And Jesus appeared. Funny when Jesus appears at just the most crucial times, eh? And he said to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And it says that they were filled with joy at seeing Jesus. Because they're in the most fearful time of their life. Their shepherd, the one they had placed all their hopes on, was there with them. Jesus is with us in the most fearful times of our lives. He doesn't go away. He is with us. And then Jesus did one more thing. John writes that he breathed on them. And he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Because he didn't want them ever to become untethered from him. And he sent his Holy Spirit. And there at the day of Pentecost, days, weeks later, the Holy Spirit came in its full force to everyone who were followers of Christ, to baptize the church, to baptize people. And the disciples went around, and throughout the different nations, regions of Asia Minor, and they met people who were believers. And the one question they would always ask, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" And if they hadn't, they would lay hands on them and breathe on them and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come. So right now in that place, that's no longer dark because you now know that Jesus is there in that place. It's no longer dark, guys. The Holy Spirit comes and enters. And the breath of Jesus blows through that dark place. And Jesus says, "Receive. Receive the Holy Spirit." So just now, I just want you just to drink deeply, guys. Drink deeply of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come. Receive him right now. Right now, receive the Spirit. Drink deeply. And if you got to breathe in, breathe. But breathe in deeply. Because he's here. He's here. He's here. And if you've never received the Holy Spirit, you have to. You have to. You want to. You know you do.
what's going to happen if I receive him? You're going to have the presence of God in your life. That's what's going to happen. You're going to have the presence of dark in that core center of who you are. You're going to feel that centripetal force drawing you. And new life will flood in.